us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And today, we want to culminate with our whole theme that we've been talking about in regards to forgiveness.
Right.
We've talked about the burden of forgiveness, the blessing of forgiveness, and we've hinted at what we're going to talk about today.
Right.
All but really kind of announced it, really, really in some ways have. And
We showed our hand. Yeah.
Right, so that is the basis of forgiveness, right. Which quite frankly is the gospel.
Well, it's kind of hard to talk about the burden and blessing of forgiveness without talking about the basis of it. But we wanted to leave the full punch line until today.
And so we're going to be deriving what we're talking about from Ephesians 4, 31 through 5, 2.
Yeah, and there's a parallel passage folks ought to look at when looking at that. These letters were read by the same congregations, and that's in Colossians 3, 12 and 13.
Okay, so what we want to focus on, because we're going to talk about the basis of forgiveness, we have really three things that will guide us. One is the threefold basis for forgiving others, that is, our sin has been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, our salvation, and then our Savior. So first of all, our sin.
Yeah, we're just talking about the gospel here, really. The gospel is the basis of forgiveness. But yeah, our sin, the thing that comes out, well, when Paul is talking to the Ephesian church, and he challenges them to forgive, he says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And right there's the crux of the whole message, the beginning point. That's the starting point of our forgiveness of others, is we've been forgiven by God because of Christ. And when we get the sense of that, then it goes a long way toward, and we keep that in mind, keep it in our hearts, then we're motivated to forgive others because we've been forgiven much. And when you think about it, there are two aspects to that whole thing of our forgiveness. One is the privilege of our forgiveness, and then the responsibility of it.
And those are not two words that I think we think of when it comes to forgiveness.
It's
counterintuitive to what we normally want to do.
We can become
or desire.
Very comfortable with our own forgiveness and just be let it settle there if we're not careful. Yes.
So we have the privilege. What you're saying is to be a part of reconciliation, not just receiving forgiveness, but the reciprocation of that.
Right. And because we have experienced forgiveness, and there is, you know, sometimes we shy away, especially in Reformed circles, from the concept of experience, but our Reformed forefathers talked about experimental religion. They meant what we would call experiential, in the sense that it's what we do, it's what we work out day by day.
You're living.
And we have the experience, we have experienced forgiveness. We have come to know the forgiveness that is in Christ from the Father. And then we have enjoyment of it. I mean, we were on our way to hell, and now we enjoy the forgiveness of God in Christ. Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, ever there to make intercession for us.
So what you're saying is we should consider the aspect of forgiving others a privilege because we have been forgiven.
Right, and that kind of leads us to the other point, which is the concept. They go together, they mesh together, and that's the responsibility of forgiveness. Because we have this great privilege, because we've been forgiven much, then we ought to be willing to forgive any offense or sin against us. And that was a large part of what Christ was saying to Peter and the other apostles. When Peter asked the question in Matthew 18, how often shall my brother forgive me or sin against me and I forgive him?
Mm-hmm.
And he said seven times. Sounded good to him. I mean, the acceptable
number. That's a lot.
Well, the acceptable number in the regular teaching of that day was three. And you've done your part if you did three times. And so he thought, seven, man, that's over twice what the
number of completion.
There you go. It's full forgiveness. That's enough. I mean, and Jesus said, no, I'm not seven. 70 times seven. And you got to think about how that resonated with them. But then he gave the parable, and that's where I wanted to go with that. Because the whole basis of that and the whole teaching of that was that the servant who asked for forgiveness of this humongous debt, and then another servant, fellow servant, which we all are, we're fellow servants, and that fellow servant asked for forgiveness of a much smaller debt. He said, no, you pay. You know, in other words, he didn't forgive. He didn't forgive in a way he was forgiven. And Jesus said, you forgive as you've been forgiven. And so when we realize the joy and experience, the privilege and responsibility that goes with it, then out of that flows forgiveness.
So I heard you say this one before we came on. Our sin is the impetus for our forgiving of others.
It is. When we think about how sinful we were and would be without Christ.
So we don't fully understand the forgiveness of Christ. I think it's a safe assessment here. Unless we possess the desire to forgive others.
I think that shows that we don't have the understanding we ought to have of Christ's forgiveness of us.
Yes. Now, which to me is a very revealing
It is.
Truth.
In fact, it can be a revealing as the possibility that we don't know Christ.
If we don't understand the gospel.
A Christian must forgive.
So if you understand the gospel, you understand forgiveness, and you
right.
know how to forgive others.
That's right.
Because you have experienced forgiveness.
That's right.
Why not give that experience to other people?
Yeah. And the person who enjoys forgiveness shares that forgiveness.
Okay, so we have our sin. Then, you know, we've been forgiven.
Right.
We have been forgiven.
Right.
And that provides the impetus for our desire to forgive others. What about our salvation?
Yes. When you think about what Christ did for us when he saved us, the word salvation means deliverance. And we've been delivered. You know, and this is a common threefold thing that preachers and teachers say with regards to our deliverance. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and ultimately we will be delivered from the presence of sin. So, we were on our way to hell. We deserve hell. As one brother we heard say one time, everything this side of hell is grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. And we need to see that we're recipients of a great deliverance from the just eternal penalty that would have been ours.
I don't think people fully realize the condemnation and the eternal penalty that they have been removed from, or has been removed from them.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to meditate on.
Right.
You don't stay there forever, but it's a good thing to think about what I would have experienced were it not for the forgiveness of
Christ. Because then it translates into how you deal with others. And
how
you live with others.
Well, and we go back to what we said. Our tendency is to want to punish others.
Mm-hmm.
So we think we're punishing them by not forgiving them. We're not punishing them. We're punishing ourselves. Really, we're hurting ourselves. But it's our desire to punish them or see them pay for what they did that keeps us from forgiving. But we don't pay for what we did. If we know Christ, we've been delivered from that penalty. And then, of course, we've been delivered from the power of sin. Now, not completely. That's coming too. That's part of that is future. But we are no longer under the power of sin as we once were. We now have the ability in Christ to overcome sin, to do that
to
which
forgive.
Is right. And that includes forgiveness. That's exactly right.
Right.
We have the power to be, by the power of the Spirit, to be forbearing and kind and loving as these passages show us. And that's exactly what Paul told his brothers and sisters. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, evil speaking be put away from you. He tells them, the Colossians in the Colossian letter, be forbearing, be kind as the elect of God. Put on bowels of mercy. And these things show what we are to be. What Paul calls in one place, put off the garments of darkness and put on the garments of light. These are the garments of light that we're to put on.
Hmm. So if we're not, you know, if we can be, I should say, and should be forbearing sin, because it does not hold power over us.
Right. Sin shall not have dominion over you.
So the sin of other people, which would be the lack of, or with their offense toward us,
right.
We should be ready, willing
to forgive. As often.
Because the power of sin does not hold over us.
Right.
And we understand that.
Right.
And we can live in that reality and extend that same grace.
Even those
grace.
Who aren't brothers and sisters in Christ, we still should show forgiveness. And then if you put with that, that one day we'll be delivered from the presence of sin, we have this blessed hope that we will no longer even be in the presence of sin, and sin's power will be completely gone. You think of the blessing of that, then I think you said earlier when we were talking, you know, heaven's a place for people who are forgiving people. You know?
Right, and if you're not willing to live in that presence, even that which is to come and that which is now, then you're not going to be able to forgive people now or to live with it. I mean, you know, if you're not,
right.
if you can't forgive people,
yes,
then how can you live in the kingdom of God?
Yeah, and we're going to live with our brothers and sisters for eternity. Yes, we will all be in that day perfect, like Christ, but we will all have been transformed that way by the power of God. We all were sinners before, you know. So
there's really no room in the kingdom of God for people who are not willing to forgive.
There isn't. In fact, that's why Christ attaches it in his model prayer, attaches our forgiveness of others to our forgiveness by God. Hmm. And they go together. And those who are forgiven are forgiving.
So when we think about the penalty, the presence of God and the lack of presence of sin in our lives, and the power that no longer it holds over us, that should be motivation for us and what Christ has done with our sin to forgive others.
Yeah, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And that includes bitterness, hatred, resentment, unforgiving spirit.
So we've talked about our sin. We've talked about our salvation. Now we talk about our Savior.
Right, and this is the crux of the matter. Really, the gospel is Jesus. You know, John Piper's written a book called God is the Gospel. And the good news is that we have Christ. I mean, yes, we have forgiveness, but we have forgiveness because we have Christ. Yes, we have salvation, but we have salvation because we have Christ. And there are a couple of things to think about. Christ being our life, Christ being our Lord, Christ being our love, that come out of that. One is that our growth in the love of Christ. When I say the love of Christ, I don't just mean his love for us, but I mean our love for him. The love of Christ, the love of God constrains us, Paul says in one place. And the Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. And so the love of Christ for us, which then has begotten in us a love of Christ for him, a love for him, is how can the love of Christ dwell in us and we not forgive those who offend us?
I think, as you said, and not less forgiving, but more forgiving.
Yes.
Because we have himself within us.
That's right. We have him. And, you know, John talks about loving one another. He said, how can you can't hate your brother and love Christ at the same time. How can you say, I hate my brother and I don't love my brother whom I see, but you say you love God whom you don't see? Mm-hmm. And certainly that's part of this mix here. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So then, along with that, is our growth in the likeness of Christ. I mean, that's the whole goal of sanctification, to be more like Christ. And who is more forgiving than Christ? You think of what he put up with the disciples, just the apostles, for 3.5 years. How many times he had to shake his head and say, what are you guys talking about? You know, and they would talk about that. And then, you know, over and over again, these times he forgave them, but then on the cross, his forgiveness. And we're growing in the likeness of Christ.
It seems to me that when you experience resentment within your heart, anger within your heart, that lack of forgiveness which we're talking about, then there's something lacking in you and your growth in Christ.
Right. That's a red flag.
Or maybe you're just not thinking upon the things of Christ as you should be.
And upon what he has done for us. And that's the thing, as we meditate upon those things, Christ will change our heart.
So it's not less forgiving, but more forgiving as we're growing in Christ.
As we grow. And we grow in the grace of forgiveness. You know, John MacArthur, we may have made this quote earlier, but it's worth repeating here at the end of the series. He said, we're never more like God than when we forgive. Mm-hmm. And I think that is true. I think we show the reality of God and of Christ and of God in our forgiving of others.
And if we take it just a little bit step further, I think maybe we resent a coworker. We don't say it to them, to their face, but within our heart, we resent this coworker, mm-hmm. resent this family member, this friend who's done something. Maybe we don't show it. Maybe mm-hmm. we don't say it in our words necessarily.
But we savor it.
But we feel it.
Yeah.
That resentment builds to it. Finally shows itself in an outward form.
It'll come out some way. Yeah.
That is lack of understanding and growing in Christ.
Yeah, and that's when we have to turn those bitter thoughts into prayers of forgiveness, prayers of confession, and prayers for the good of those who offended us.
And ask the Lord, how am I needing to grow in my understanding and my knowledge and grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.